It's time for another fabulous episode of
The Don and Mike Show.
And today we shall witness an earth-shaking discovery.
Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara.
Who are you guys with? NBC, CBS?
Radio God.
You gave up jobs with security, show business.
The Don and Mike Show.
We've got a show.
Come on, guys. We're on the air.
Have a good show.
Produced by 106.7 WJFK, Washington's Superstation.
It's going to be a great show.
All right, well, good luck.
And distributed by Westwood One Entertainment.
We should thank our lucky stars. They're still putting on a program of this caliber after so many years.
Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. Complete contest rules. Send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Mighty WJFK. P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Stay tuned for your chance at $500 for naming the secret sound. Only on the Don and Mike Show.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Number one, Arbitron Rate, The Don and Mike Show.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Last time on the Don and Mike Show.
Everybody loves Don and Mike. And Reagan National. That's the big debate in Washington, too, to call it Reagan National. It's really National.
Listen, do what I do. You say, where are you going? Where are you going out of? Dulles or Alzheimer's? I say, I'm flying out of Alzheimer's.
Alzheimer's International.
The Don and Mike Show.
I have a message for all you good, moral, Christian people who are complaining that breasts and vaginas are obscene. Hey, don't complain to me. Complain to the manufacturer, okay? And although Jesus told us not to judge, I know you're going to judge anyway. So judge sanely. Judge with your eyes open. What do you consider obscene? Is this obscene to you?
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll-free, at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
Mr. Son of a Beach.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike. Or you don't know to fill a book.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Well, we're counting down now.
Are we?
To the day when he came back to life.
On the third day.
Yes, you may know him as Jesus Christ.
Hold that stone.
Also known as the Easter Bunny.
Oh.
Featured prominently in the movie The Ten Commandments over the weekend.
Excellent.
Say hello to Phil Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
Rob Spiewak.
And his wife, Mrs. Magdalene. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. O'Pay, and all the ships at sea.
Mary Hochberg.
After sitting vigil all night with the widow Stargell, here's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Aw.
You care desperately, which is why you sat with her.
Mom.
Pops.
Pops' wife, Mom.
Mom. Mom.
M-O-M-S. I like Pops.
Mom Stargell.
He was Pops. He was Mom's. And hello, and thank you for listening, everybody. New episode here on Tuesday, April 10, Tuesday. And before we start the show, I want to set up a couple of things that we have happening later this week. All right. Okay, we gotta set up a contest right now that we're going to be having on Thursday.
Thursday.
No, hold on. Let me get Buzz's microphone there. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
There you go. The button was not pressed.
Ah.
You see, Lisa wasn't here to push the buttons into the correct configuration, as she was out of the Chinese embassy today
doing her damnedest.
She was screaming at the Chinese ambassador from out front the building with a megaphone.
Good. Because this thing's growing hair.
Oh, yeah.
This thing's getting worse.
I don't know. I won't know until we hear the tape. I can tell you that I had a hand in preparing her text, some of the text,
well,
for her today. Unfortunately, she said, outside of three Chinese people who didn't speak American,
right,
there was no one walking down the street who she could interview, okay? Because we wanted her to ask people walking by, like, as she pointed to the embassy, can you believe this guy? What is, what's the deal with this guy?
This guy.
Guy.
Who is this guy?
Well, we've got the tape. You'll hear Lisa at the embassy in a second. Listen, first, I want to tell you what we're doing on Thursday. You know, simple is the best.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We've done all kinds of crazy cookie contests. You know, with people getting naked, people eating stuff, people drinking stuff, people throwing stuff up, people doing stuff to themselves.
Right.
Thursday, we have a trip to Los Angeles to give away, a free vacation to Los Angeles for the American Comedy Awards.
Wonderful prize.
Yeah. Very simple contest. The biggest boobs win.
The biggest.
The biggest.
Seems fair.
They can be fake.
Right.
They can be real.
Okay.
The biggest boobs win.
Biggest boobs.
You just got to come in, show us your boobs. And let Lisa do the tape measure thing on you.
And we urge all women to try.
Yeah, because you never know.
Mm-hmm.
We might not get our usual quota of strippers and adult entertainers who come down for this.
Now, are we saying just, I mean, is there any other criteria?
Right.
Other than,
because
let me tell you something.
I know you can get a fatty down here with gigantic boobs.
The biggest woman,
no, biggest boobs,
conceivably will win.
The biggest boobs.
Yeah, it was with some trepidation I was going to ask. Is it a gender-specific contest?
Yes, women only, Rob.
Oh, okay, okay, good.
Women only.
Women only.
I afraid Lean Jean was going to come down.
Biggest boobs, and I think we're going to ask, please... No professionals, no strippers,
good.
No adult entertainers, no whores. However, if you're a housefrau, you know, and you've had the implants done,
this is amateur hour.
Knock yourself out, okay?
We don't want pros.
So if you've got big boobs and you'd like to win a trip to Los Angeles, you better start calling us now because we're doing a contest on Thursday.
Your boobs could be your ticket to L.A.
Phone number is 877-365-3636, quite simply. On Thursday, we're looking for the largest boobs.
Quite simply, the best.
The biggest boobs. I mean, it's a simple contest. It's a contest we've never done before.
Absolutely.
We've done the prettiest boobs.
Yeah.
We've done the ugliest boobs.
Yes, right.
We've done the smallest boobs.
We have.
We've never just done the most massive, humongous, gigantic boobs.
Biggest boobs.
Okay? So if you got big boobs.
Right.
Is this a lady with big boobs already?
Probably.
Oh, Lisa's on the phone with her right now.
Very good.
877-365-3636. Also, very dangerous to say this early in the show, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'm please asking Dennis Murphy to call in.
No!
Because we have a job for him on Friday.
We've got a wonderful job for him.
Okay. You know, we're going to be celebrating Easter on Friday.
Good.
And we have a rabbit suit for Dennis.
Right.
We would like Dennis to be our free money bunny.
Excellent. It'll be a good Friday.
So we need to hear from Dennis.
Yes, okay. Please.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Speak to us.
Well, you know, hold. Did I reset the telephones?
Give me a second. You know, nothing in the studio was configured today. Hello?
Hippity hoppity, I'm sorry, unbelievable.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, I got a suggestion. You're talking about these big women coming down that might have an advantage. How about taking the breast measurement and subtract the waist measurement? That might be a true indicator.
How about one time we could just do a contest on this show
without conditions?
Without some schmuck calling us up saying, how about this?
Just keep it simple.
It's the biggest boobs.
The biggest boobs. We're going to have wonderful women participating.
Marvelous.
Well, I'd love to be there, but thank you very much.
All right, thank you for leaving the driving to us.
Horn doggy, right, horn doggy, care. Horn doggy, horn doggy, horn doggy,
thank
horn
you.
Doggy.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I was calling about the biggest boob contest.
Yeah, of course you were. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
I don't know if they're like the biggest, but they're pretty big. Now, I don't know if it counts as I'm a bartender for a living.
Well, that would make no difference. No, I mean, when we said no pros, we just meant no strippers,
right.
No whores, no party dancers. Yeah, what, Mike?
I have a thought.
What?
That when they come down, they will show us the breasts,
and
their measurements will be taken.
Of course.
But the measurements will be announced at the end of the show.
Excellent.
I just thought I'd try that.
Thank you, Rob. And also, when the girls call in,
no real need to, you know, let women know what the sizes are, because if we do that, if a woman came down and was a 44 double D, the 36D wouldn't show up.
And the women who call in for the contest, they shouldn't tell us their bra size either.
Don't
in
do that. No, do not tell us the bra sizes.
Good.
Just come on down, and then we will announce the winner at the end.
If you think you got big jugs, though, do you think you have big jugs?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, hold on a second. We'll see you Thursday.
Hold on a second. I just thought of that at the last second there. If we were to, you know, let sizes out like over the air at the beginning or during the show.
If the first girl who was measured was a 44 triple E,
it would be over for, right. for you know, a lot of the women that want to participate.
That's no fun. The
contest is over. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Talk to Don and Mike.
Yeah, you're on the air. Hi.
The contest is over, dudes. I'm just, you know, the two biggest boobs in the world sitting there talking into the mics.
Okay, God. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Funny man. Thank you.
And we have nipples on our foreheads.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, I've missed you guys so much. I'm here in Las Vegas, and it's been, what, a year and a half since I've heard a contest like a big boobs contest.
There you go. Well, yeah, it's great to be back in Las Vegas on KSFN. That is our brand new radio station in Las Vegas.
And wouldn't that be something if the show originated in Las Vegas? Wouldn't we have a contest there? Huh? Lots of huge breasts in Las Vegas.
And, yeah, they're all dancers and whores, so they wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't...
That's right, they'd be pros. They'd
but
be
no,
pros.
They could be... Technically, I think a showgirl would be okay if she danced with pasties on.
Mr. Spicoli, you're walking a fine line there.
Showgirls would be okay.
Showgirls.
But girls who strip for a living, I don't think we want pros in this. Just amateurs. You know what? Hell, maybe no showgirls this time.
When we did our ill-fated television program, we had showgirls.
We sure did.
We were let out by showgirls on the worst television show ever made.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello?
Hi.
Oh, my God, I love you. I'm crying. Oh, I live in Las Vegas, and you were gone for a year and a half, and I cried every day that you were gone, and the worst luck has been happening to me ever since. And then yesterday, I used to call up my friend who lived in Baltimore, Maryland, and I would have her put the phone to the radio so that I could listen to you, and she called me, and she told me that you were back on in Las Vegas.
Are you a man pretending to be a woman?
No.
Really?
Yeah, but... I like to fart and smell them.
You like do. To fart and smell them?
Oh, don't
boy.
Men do that?
You're a good girl.
Sure, within your part, man. But thank you for the call. Glad to be back on it.
Your luck has changed. It's going to be easy street for you. You're going to be the golden girl.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, honey. Thanks for the call.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye. Hello there, Don and Mike show. I guess it took the people of Las Vegas a day to figure out that we were back, because we got, like, no calls yesterday.
Yeah, but we've gone into markets where we've been on FM and then gone onto an AM station and never gotten one call.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello, Don.
Yeah, hi, and Mike, hi.
Don and Mike. That may be ignorant being from Virginia like y'all, but how do you measure a cup size?
Yeah, that's a good question. We actually, when we were having the smallest contest, we have to really kind of go on the bra size.
Well, I don't know if you can do it without a bra, right?
Well, what couldn't you just, if you do the 44 part, that's all the way around.
Yeah, but couldn't you measure the circumference? I mean, couldn't you measure the front of it and the whole thing?
Rob, didn't we have that issue come up when we were doing the small breasts?
I like to refer to that as my own issue.
Okay.
I think the circumference when they do a bra size is under the breast. So if we go
didn't
around...
Didn't Lisa have a formula where she was measuring to get the...
Yeah, Lisa
size?
Had some kind of a formula that she used with that tape measure.
The cup
right?
size is, I believe, determined by the difference between the circumference around the breast and under the breast. But if we just measure over the breast, that's going to take everything into account. I think we'll be okay with that.
Yeah, we'll be fine. We'll figure it out.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you, my friend. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, that last caller from Vegas, she sounds like that gal in American Pie. And that one time from band camp,
All right, thank you. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don, I apologize. I don't want to kick a dead horse here, but can we leave the plastic out of this contest?
You mean no silicone?
I mean? There's got to be a limit to what we're
doing. No, listen, everybody listen. Fake boobs are fine. I'm confident that if we open this contest up to girls who aren't pros, then the girl who wins will probably be natural. But if you want really big boobs,
I bet a lot of money that the winner of this contest will be natural.
Yeah.
I would say it's almost a slam dunk the winner would be natural.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I just hope that that's something that we definitely can run with. I also have another question. A lot of people are calling in from Las Vegas. I don't know why, but they said they've been out for a while. I've been out in Colorado for
I've been arrested. I wonder if you're a douchebag or not. But I have the answer to that since you hung up. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, you in?
Ladies and gentlemen, here he is.
Yeah. Here he is. He could be the winner of the biggest breast contest.
Yeah, they're getting bigger every day.
It's girls only.
Well, hold on. I'm doing something to combat that.
You're doing something to combat what? Your large breast?
Yeah, my large, couple breasts.
Are you dieting? Are you losing weight?
Well, I'm trying to. It's better having, two sandwiches at night. I'm having a bowl of cereal.
There you go. That's how you do it.
Any nutritionist would tell you that's the best thing to do right before bed. Have a bowl of Frosted Flakes and some whole milk.
Well, actually, it's Honey Nut Cheerios.
Honey Nut Cheerios. Well, listen, Dennis, we need you Friday. We need you to be our free money bunny.
Okay, free money bunny hopping around, huh?
Yeah, right.
Hippity hoppity, unbelievable, I'm sorry.
Right in front of the station.
Okay.
Guess what?
What?
Yeah, guess what?
Guess what?
Guess what?
Guess what?
No.
Naturally.
Hey, that's mine.
I threw a buzz in on there. Hold on a second, okay?
Okay, naturally.
All right, hold on, please. That's Dennis Murphy. He'll be the free money buddy on Friday's episode.
I can, are we returning the suit? After he's done,
yes.
If there's even the slightest bit of humidity, what am I talking about? It doesn't have to be any humidity in the air.
So we could be in Alaska. We have had to buy the costumes before that Dennis has worn.
Yes.
I know we had to buy a pilgrim suit one time that he wore that reeked so bad of B.O.
Yeah, it was soaking wet when he got done with it.
They wouldn't take it back.
Or the shoes.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
What are you going to do about real hangy ones, Don? They might be big, but they hang low.
Would everybody please just allow us to have a best biggest boobs contest?
Sir, I want to pick your brain. I want to pick what's left of your brain.
Use a small toothpick, then.
Why? Why, sir? Why? You want us to do this contest,
use
right?
Use a sewing needle if you want to pick this guy's brain.
You want us to do the contest, correct?
Right.
Why? Why do you call with this negativity?
I like hanging boobs, but they're big, but they hang low. So if you're going around the circumference of the whole body, they might not go out very far, but they're big.
Why don't you just let it happen?
Yeah, just let the show happen on Thursday.
Okay? And enjoy.
Okay?
All right, I will.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Buzz, you ever shop at Ames?
I have, yeah.
Because you're good at your Ames commercials.
Oh, thank you very much. I enjoy making those.
Okay, right.
Buzz, you are such a whore.
I don't make Ames commercials.
Oh, sure you do. Come on. You're joshing him. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello, turn your radio down.
I'm always quiet when Buzz gets busted for being a whore because I aspire to be that whore.
If you really want to know what a whore Buzz is,
yes.
Sometime go to we have the digital TV, but some of our neighbors have cable. Go watch cable TV sometime and turn on like the HTS channel where virtually every commercial is hi. Do you like lasagna? All the lasagna you can eat at Tengogini's.
I'm so jealous.
He does absolutely every commercial on cable TV.
And he still hosts the mega tour of new homes.
That's true. That's right.
Then you get to see him.
That's the pleat in Buzz's cape.
Twice a day. Buzz? Even on Christmas. Cable 29.
It's
here.
A great show. I've watched it a dozen times.
Yeah, don't call Buzz a whore. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
You'd be home by now.
Just because he's doing the cable guide to new homes.
Yeah.
And what is it that you do?
It's the mega tour of new homes.
The mega tour of new homes.
And you're on camera for that, right?
Yeah, on camera twice a day, even on Christmas. 365 days a year.
Hi.
By heart.
This is a beautiful split level.
Take a look at this.
Look at this kitchen. A self-cleaning oven.
Mm-hmm.
Or call us here at WJFK. Hi. Wow. All right, well, listen, while the phones are ringing, we'll at least get the girls for the contest. Biggest boobs contest, that's on Thursday. Dennis Murphy is the free money bunny. That's on Friday. I think before we get to Lisa's tape of the Inquisition down at the Chinese ambassador's place here in D.C., our lead story has to be from the pages of the Globe. Longtime friend of the Don and Mike Show, and I think we have him booked to come on in a couple of weeks, although right now I'd bet $100, he cancels the interview.
You never know. Sometimes with these tabloid stories, they ignore it. They don't deal with it.
John Walsh, our friend from America's Most Wanted.
Yeah.
Well, the headline says, John Walsh busted. Shameless cheating, sex marathons, kinky photos. So
where's,
you go,
where's the crime?
You go, well, maybe this is just one of those fabricated stories.
Right.
Until you open up and you see this picture of John Walsh with his shirt off and some chick pawing all over him.
Yeah, with her hand on his tummy.
And she has some kind of a sex toy.
Sex toy!
That is, I'm not sure exactly what that is. That is it looks like a three-pronged dildo-type apparatus that she is massaging his stomach with.
I will tell you that although that is photographic evidence, it is only photographic evidence that a woman has some sort of massage unit that she's... You know, just because it's the tabloids.
Right. Here's another picture of John with another woman in which...
Same woman, isn't it?
Nope, different girl. In which he's lifting up his shirt to reveal his nipple. There's no massage at play there.
Let me see the two pictures.
Okay. Girl number one.
It's the same girl.
Is it really?
Hold on.
Lisa Mbish. Oh, you know why? They use her full name in the first picture.
Wow. Right.
They use just her, just... In the first picture, it says... That's why I was confused. Lisa Michelle Brigman.
Right.
And in the second picture, it says... Lisa Michelle.
You know, just when you're flashing that around, I'm reading some of those headlines. They just go full bore, don't they?
America's most perverted host.
That's what I read. My God.
John Walsh exposed as love cheat with passion for kinky sex and X-rated photos of himself in the act.
Now, they say X-rated. Now, I'm curious.
All right,
very
hold on.
Curious.
Let me read down here. Of course, they say he's been married for 29 years. His son was kidnapped, you know that. That's the famous Adam story.
Right.
Let me see. Lisa Michelle, who apparently the girl who took the pictures and sold them to the Globe,
right,
confides that there's a side to John that few people know. He's a sex addict. He's hooked on sex. He goes to great lengths to get what he wants, and he has great stamina.
Right.
He had a wife and another mistress while he was doing me. He can stay up all night and still do his show, America's Most Wanted. The 55-year-old crook catcher's biggest passions are oral sex.
All right.
Well, listen, come on.
Yeah, I mean, like he's in a minority there.
Oral sex and taking photos of his lovers while they're pleasuring him.
Interesting.
All right, the cheese stands alone there. He's obsessed with oral sex, giving and receiving. And it's a big turn-on to him to take pictures of a girl performing for him. He has his mistresses take pictures as he's performing on them.
Mm-hmm.
John tells pals later the pictures help him to recall the moment of pleasure.
Yes.
A little
auntie. Yeah.
One mistress was so shocked to be asked to take a picture while she was having sex with her, she couldn't do it. She told him the feelings were too intense. But really, she was disgusted by being asked to use a camera at such a private moment.
Right. So when he's getting oral sex, she takes a picture. I mean, he takes a picture of her, right. And when he's giving her oral sex, she takes a picture of him.
Yeah, that's the way it reads.
So that sounds like, you know, it sounds like what his real kink is, that he likes the woman to take a picture of him doing that.
He especially enjoys oral sex while girls service him when he's dressed up and about to go out for a night on the town. One night, he was dolled up in white tail and tux, and his date was in a full-length gown. He asked for oral sex as they were about to leave. I took a photograph of it happening with him still in his clothes and the girl still in her gown.
Where did they get this from?
This is from...
This is one of his lovers?
Lisa Michelle Bridgman, the girl who's given the story. One day he was traveling down Fifth Avenue in the center of Manhattan when he asked a girl to pleasure him. He did a picture while she did it. He loves to get his girlfriends to take off their underwear in public or show him that they're not wearing panties.
I assume he was riding in a vehicle at this point. He wasn't walking down Fifth Avenue.
Let me see. John lavishes jewels and clothes on his mistresses.
Mm-hmm. Well,
flies them around the country to meet him and thing they drop whatever they're doing. When his wife of 29 years filed for divorce in 1999.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
A couple of years ago.
Following a Globe report on his cheating.
Oh.
Uh-huh. She charged him with wild spending. She later dropped
the divorce action.
So how crazy is this story?
Well, so now it comes up again.
Right. But former Hawaiian Tropic bikini model Lisa Michelle notes that John Walsh flew around the country for weekend trysts, paying for airfare and costly hotel rooms.
Right.
She learned about his sexual quirks during trips to New York, San Francisco, Nashville, New Orleans, Malibu, and Los Angeles. John has a great body and likes to show it off.
I agree.
When he first started walking around totally naked, he asked me, does this bother you? It's how I like to relax.
He's a horn doggy. Well, I mean, he's an alleged horn doggy.
He doesn't wear underwear. He loves to take bubble baths.
Well, there, hey, similarities to a newsman I know.
He would fill the tub, empty bottles of shampoo in the water, and ask me to bathe him.
Yeah.
He also loves sensuous massages.
Sure, who doesn't?
Let me see. As our photo at Far Left shows, oh, you know, maybe that's not a dildo, because it says, as the photo at Far Left shows, he's in ecstasy as Lisa uses a wooden three-prong device on his naked chest. She also used the sex toy to stimulate other parts of his body.
No! Oh!
That's not a dildo? Hold on, here's a girl who says, hey, hello, Gigi?
Yeah, I'm calling. My boyfriend called me and told me if that's...
Yeah, you know what? This is a guy.
Yeah, it's a guy.
This is a guy. You're busted.
No.
Yes?
My name is Tammy. My boyfriend called me and told me to call you guys.
Why did you use the name Gigi?
I didn't.
That's what it says on the screen. Gigi. Oh, I'm on the wrong line? Oh, my mistake.
Oops.
Excuse me. Hold on, please.
Sorry, sir.
Let me talk to Gigi first. Gigi?
Yeah, it's me.
Oh, hi, Gigi.
I didn't think you like
hi, what, Gigi?
I said I didn't think I sounded like a guy. I thought you were talking to me earlier, and I...
You know, I don't know, man.
Why do you think all the girls are sounding like guys today?
I don't know.
Are you waiting for that guy Chris to call again and,
I thought that Gigi... Ah! She hung up.
Ooh.
The other girl wasn't Gigi hung up.
Gigi.
I think that was...
There's only one Gigi.
I think that girl was that guy who pretends to be girls.
You think so?
Yeah, I really think so. Of course, I thought the girl from Las Vegas was the
that's
guy.
That's right. Yeah.
That too. I don't know what it is.
You're a homo.
Maybe. So listen. So you know about this three-pronged...
Well, no, I haven't actually used that, but I've seen them in stores, and you can get them in just, you know, regular stores. They're like, they are specifically used for massage.
Yeah, it's not necessarily a sex toy, right?
Oh, not necessarily.
But it could be.
Could be.
Well, and, you know, they talk about X-rated photos, but there are no X-rated photos in here. Does he have his shirt off, and she's got, like, her arms around him and is tickling him with some kind of massage unit? Yeah, but I mean... I'd like to see, if there really are these X-rated photos, I'd like to see one of the pixelated, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Come on, produce the real evidence here.
Yeah, but still, I mean, this picture where he's got his shirt off, this is pretty damaging.
Yeah, the shirt off, yeah.
Well, I mean, imagine
if... massages with shirts on.
Yeah, but she's like hugging him and kissing him, and he's doing that Hercules pose where he's where he's making a muscle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't imagine if that picture got back to our wives, and that was us... Well, first off, they would know it's not us because look at his body. But I mean, I can't, you know, if our wives got a picture like that, you know, it would be...
Yeah, but do you understand what I'm saying? It's like when they say X-rated pictures, I'd like to see the real goods.
So would I. Let me see. He's in ecstasy. She uses the wooden three-prong device on his naked chest. She uses a sex toy to stimulate other parts of the body. He sent her flowers. It said, to the most wanted lady in America. He called her a few times, sent first-class tickets. Mm-hmm. They had sex at the Willard Hotel in D.C. John sent a bodyguard to pick me up from the airport. He finished work that night. He arrived at the hotel. We went out to dinner later. We kissed and cuddled. He was a gentleman and a great lover. The TV host is wild about sex.
That is what cracks me up.
Wild.
When these women put these things in the tabloid, he was a gentleman and a great lover.
Right. Soften the blow of squealing on it.
Really? You're wild about sex. John is an amazing sexual performer.
There you go.
Entire nights were taken up with making love repeatedly to the point of exhaustion. Obsessive sex. John sometimes has two girls at the same time and takes pictures. He has one girl giving him oral while he performs on the other, with another woman taking pictures.
I'm getting hot. I gotta go.
All right, goodbye. He's fixated on buying sex toys and revealing underwear for his girls, open crotch panties and vibrant colors and French bras.
Yeah, but
sometimes I know, Buzz. Nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Sometimes he takes pictures with the girls using sex toys. One girl was made to pose in a mink coat with open crotch panties while she pleasured herself with a battery-operated toy.
My goodness.
It's a bizarre fetish he has. He's a virile man with a great appetite.
Is that the end?
Yeah. That's the end.
Oh, there they go. Gotta like that globe.
You know, maybe he'll still come on the show and maybe he'll dispute this. You know, maybe he'll have an answer for this.
He's still one of our greatest crime fighters.
He is. Yeah, and he's a good guest on this show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the guy has had, you know, a pretty rough life when you really add things up.
Oh, he's always been a good guest on this show. But boy, do they screw him.
They do. Mm-hmm. When they really go after somebody, I wonder, you know, don't the Globe in particular, if somebody takes on the Globe and or somebody disses the Globe, don't they come back and do something like this? I wonder the first time when they had an article about him, if he ratted out the Globe and was bad-mouthing the Globe, because you don't bad-mouth the Globe.
It's quite possible.
Well, what, Robbie?
The Globe set a new precedent.
You know what? That microphone's not on.
Hmm.
Is that off? Number four?
Yeah.
It's not on. I got nothing.
Check one? No?
No. There you go. All right. Got it now.
They set a precedent when they entrapped GIF. That was the first time, I think, an American tabloid had done it. That's routinely done in Europe. But they're the new ones for scraping the bottom. They do like stuff like that.
And the way that they screw him with this article is that they start with the picture of him with the girl with the three-prong thing.
Yeah.
Then in the middle, they got a picture of him wearing the suit with his arms folded in front of America's Most Wanted.
Yeah.
Then they got a picture of him showing his nipple. You know, it's like the three pictures in order, they just kill him.
They do. It's a nasty, nasty article.
They just absolutely kill him.
So that's
John Walsh, who is scheduled to be on the show very soon.
Very good.
If he shows, who knows?
I hope he does.
Let's see if there's anything else decent in here. Kick Chelsea's Wild Nights.
Wild!
Bruce and Demi together again.
Mm.
Colby dumps Jerry after falling for Elizabeth on Survivor.
Good.
Nicole's torment. I don't know. Whitney's dad clobbered by Bobby Brown. Things are just great, aren't they? These are the best magazines, I swear to God.
You mean Bobby Brown hit Whitney Houston's father?
Yeah, beat him up.
Oh, dear.
McVeigh's plot to father baby from behind prison walls.
Here we go. As you get further to the back, it's better credibility.
Lisa Marie begs Michael Jackson, Jacko, take me back.
Jacko, that's his favorite name in the tabloids.
He hates that.
Maury Povich's bizarre marriage test.
Ooh.
Wendy Malick says, I'm not a slut.
Lies.
Right. Donnie's heartbreak. Donny Osmond's son rebels against Goody Two-Shoes' dad.
Oh, no.
Let me see. And then just a bunch of pictures of girls wearing evening gowns where they cut apart what they're wearing.
I always enjoy that.
Yeah. A lot of times the girls are girls that you haven't heard of.
Mm-hmm. It's okay, they look great in their gowns.
Susan Lucci.
Ugh.
Lucci.
Alicia Silverstone. She looks good. She's lost some weight.
Uh-huh.
She looks pretty good. Kim Cattrall. From Sex in the City.
She still manages to look stunning.
I almost said that like a disc jockey.
Yeah.
Sex in the City. Vivica A. Fox.
They're doing all their heights here.
Oh, is that what it is? How tall they are?
Yeah, I bet Kim Cattrall's not that tall.
5'6".
Well, average.
How about Vivica A. Fox?
5'11".
5'8".
Well,
how about Jane Kasmer, Malcolm in the Middle's mother?
5'6".
5'7".
Okay.
Daryl Hannah, 6 feet. Sorry, Mike, 7'4". Daryl Hannah's 5'10".
5'10".
And what about Cindy Crawford?
Cindy Crawford would be
7. 5'10".
Ooh, really?
And right on the last page.
I'm terrible at this game.
This is a great story on the last page that John Lennon was a fag.
The funniest thing about that is that it says Beatle John Lennon. Oh, that John Lennon. The Beatle?
Beatle John Lennon's gay affair.
Well, he was in everything. I mean, when they were taking acid.
Imagine all the buttocks sitting in my room.
And I mean, really, wouldn't you go gay if you were married to Yoko?
Yeah, we'll give him the benefit of the doubt on that.
Do it.
Although, now I'm reading the story now. It's
B.Y.
Pre-Yoko?
Before Yoko.
Well, then it makes sense on another level that he was attracted to Yoko. He was attracted to the opposite sex.
In 1963.
The same sex, rather.
He had a drunken fling with the band's homo manager, Brian Epstein.
Epstein?
In Spain in 1963. John had taunted Brian about having gay sex and finally allowed him to do so. Jesus. But John Lennon was touchy about being labeled gay and once broke a pal's ribs after he called John a queer.
Interesting.
Okay. John.
They kind of buried that one, don't they?
Yeah. That's on the last page, the absolute last page of the Globe.
Fear of litigation.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, guys.
Hi there.
I was just going to let you know there was a expose on John Walsh on TV that said the wife was having an affair with his best friend when his little boy was kidnapped, and that the best friend was a suspect in the kidnapping.
Oh, brother, you know, I had no idea that this John Walsh story was such a mess. You knew this, Buzz? You're nodding your head?
I knew that they'd had trouble with their marriage for some time, dating back to the kidnapping of their son. And I don't know how close John Walsh and his wife have been since that time, as a matter of fact.
All right. Thank you, honey. Hey, you got big boobs?
Well, I'm nursing right now, so yeah.
You should think about entering the contest.
I'm in California. I don't think I can make it out there now.
All right. Thank you, though.
Thanks.
Thank you for the call. Thank you for the call. She's nursing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nursing mothers have a great chance of winning.
Absolutely.
But please, no seepage, no spilling.
No, we had quite enough of that.
Yeah.
One of our other contests.
That's happened before.
We all agreed we'd rather not see that again.
We had a guy one time.
Or did that person ever show up?
No,
that happened.
It was during one of our freak shows where the
guy came in and
opened his mouth and drank the milk out of his wife.
You know, I really do seriously block things that I find disturbing. Did they show up and actually do it?
Yes, the guy sat in front of her and she squeezed and shot it like a water fountain into his mouth.
Yeah, none of that, please.
How could I forget it? I remember it every
night. Well, see, you were into it, and then that happened. You had always kind of like been, hey, come on down, Bob Barker. And then they showed up, and as soon as you saw it,
it was kind of
you realized it was not something that...
oogie.
Yeah.
It's a good idea on paper.
But there are a lot of, you know, I mean, there's that particular kink is, you can find that all over the internet.
It's everywhere. So listen, let's say...
I think.
I don't know if we can... do we have time to start? We can start the Lisa tape of Lisa down at the Chinese embassy. Now, of course, there's no better place to reach the hierarchy of the Chinese government.
We're very fortunate to be here in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital.
Yeah.
Countries all over the world have their representatives right here in town.
Right down there in Embassy Row on Connecticut Avenue, we sent Lisa down to the bullhorn, and we gave her quite a few things to yell at the ambassador, at the Chinese ambassador,
good,
who we knew was in the residence today.
Yeah, I apparently he's the guy that's having a lot of communication with the White House.
Right. Is this Reel 1 or Reel 2?
It's going to be on Reel 1.
Be on Reel 1. Okay, so now, picture, if you will, just a couple of hours ago, our very own Lisa, looking very, very sharp today, in front of the Chinese embassy, standing right in front of the gigantic gate, the big black cast iron gate.
I wonder if she was alone down there.
With her bullhorn. Well, I think she said that there were passersby and that maybe at one point a cop asked her to leave.
Surprised there weren't more protesters then.
Well, we had questions for the protesters.
Right.
But I don't think... Hey, where is she, Robbie? Will you grab her for a second? Yeah, because we had questions for the protesters. But I don't think... Like, one of the questions was, are you still going to protest if it rains? What else do you protest? How does this protest rank among your grievances?
Right.
But you didn't get to ask any protesters?
No, I was really surprised. I'm coming across the bridge towards the embassy, and I see all these banners and all these signs. So I'm like, okay, there's protesters. So I was on the phone with Rob. I was like, great, I see all these banners. Like, you're going to fit right in. Well, I get up there, nobody. And right across the street is like a little mini traffic circle. There was a family of three Asian people having a picnic, tending to their signs. But other than that, I was the only person there.
Really?
Yeah.
So the
very
prize
surprising.
Was that.
Uh-huh.
So the only protesters were having a picnic.
Oh, yeah.
So you kind of had protest exclusivity down there.
Oh, yeah. It was just me.
Very good. Okay, so it's Lisa on the bullhorn, and here she is giving the first command to Ambassador Young. How do you pronounce this, Robbie?
I think it was Jiechi.
Jiechi.
But who cares?
Young Ji Chi.
But who cares?
Here we go.
Reel number one?
Gotcha. Here you go. Here's Lisa at the Chinese embassy. Once again, we are trying to intervene.
Yes, we're trying to get this thing resolved.
To solve this crisis.
Attention, Ambassador Young Jechi. On behalf of Penn Stevens, the Don and Mike Show, and Infinity Broadcasting, please accept our apology for whatever it is you and your people are upset about. Now, can you please teach us how to play Chinese checkers?
All right, now, she kind of botched that one.
Really?
You combine number one and number two. You're doing an ad-lib there. Because number one was supposed to be, accept our apology for whatever it is you and your people are upset about. Now, let our nice people come home from their Chinese captivity. Thank you, Honorable Ambassador Son.
Yeah, well, I was having a little bit, you know, of a moral dilemma here. I just kind of, you know.
Well, you didn't want to say Ambassador Son?
No, I get to that. I get to that. But, you know, at one point, I do kind of say, you know, let them go. But I'm sitting on this bench. There's yellow ribbons everywhere. On, like, in the bushes, like five to a bush.
Right.
On the street post. Like, there's all these, you know, yellow hostage ribbons there. So I was just kind of trying to make it just as weird.
But you're on the side of the people who have put the ribbons out. You're on the American side.
I understand that. It was just,
So your moral dilemma was making light of the situation? Is that what it was?
But were you making light? Or were you really trying to make a difference?
The minister of hate. The minister of hate, like, goes into overdrive right now.
Of course she's making light of it. It's funny. No. Like, at the bottom of all of this, though, there's truth. There's always truth at the bottom of comedy.
Absolutely.
The truth is, Honorable Ambassador Son, let our nice people come home from their Chinese captivity.
We're making light of is the Chinese government. That's what we're making light of. So technically, that's not making light of the situation. Because I really think that when everybody, most people in America would agree, they're the enemy, okay?
Of course they are.
They're the enemy.
All right, now.
Yes, they are.
Number two is, Mr. Ambassador, can you teach us how to play Chinese checkers?
Yeah.
Did you read number three as is, the one about the buffet?
Oh, yeah. Most fun.
Here's number three.
Most fun.
Here we go. Again, for the Ambassador of China.
Mr. Ambassador, how can your people make a profit on a $4.99 all-you-can-eat buffet?
And there's no response?
No response whatsoever.
He comes to the window.
I have basically all to myself. No, the windows were open.
No trouble.
That's coming up, Mike. That's coming up.
I don't think they had air conditioning because all the windows were open in the building. So I'm directly underneath the windows open with the bullhorn up as high as it goes. Everybody for blocks I know can hear me.
Yeah, I think we hear the reverberation off the wall.
Mm-hmm. All right, here's another one now. Another plea to the Chinese ambassador. Number four.
Hit it again.
Oh.
Mr. Ambassador, can you explain the success of Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon?
Noah, you're doing these out of order.
Yeah, Rob and I, as he was writing these, I'm just mixing them up. I'm not going in a straight line down the sheet.
What about the one, why are your people historically
first driving? Yeah.
Oh, you got that.
I get there.
All right, because there's some really good ones here.
All there.
All right, can you explain the success of Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon?
Hey, did you see anybody come to the window? Did you see any faces in the window at all?
No, but right as I started, one of the gates came up, like they had the underground parking garage or whatever, and the gates came up all slowly, and I didn't see anybody, and I'm, you know, I have my tape ready, and I'm thinking that they're coming to get me, and no, they were just some people driving a really nice car.
So the questions for the passerby, you didn't get to those.
No, there was nobody.
What about, did you read the Proverbs? Oh, you read the Proverbs. Oh, good.
Okay.
We worked hard on the
this
Proverbs.
This is terrific. This is good.
Here's the next missive from us to the Chinese government. In front of the embassy.
Don and Mike would like to have you out to the shop for a lovely game of Mahjong. You come, play game, yes?
Again, no answer. She's in the middle of Connecticut Avenue.
Mahjong, isn't that a Jewish game?
No.
Originally, what's the game?
Adopted by American Jews in particular.
Really?
Yes.
Because isn't that in Driving Miss Daisy?
Yeah, and when they play that game? Woody Allen used to talk about it a lot.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
All right.
I play that game on my Palm Pilot.
All right, here's another one.
Hi, Don. Don't be an ambassador dork. Let the Americans come home.
Don't be an ambassador.
An ambassador.
Don't be an ambassador.
That's my favorite.
Can you please reveal the ancient Chinese secret of Calgon detergent?
Calgon. And again, no response. I mean, you're out there screaming this stuff, and not even the Chinese ambassadors, the security people came out and said anything?
Nothing.
Nope. All right. Here we go.
Are you holding our hostages to feel high and mighty because you are historically a short people?
Again. No response.
Right.
We're trying our hardest.
Did you see any, I guess you were asked to leave at a certain point by a police officer?
No, I chatted with one briefly. There was no problem.
But there are police officers down there is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're there.
Because they usually roll those guys out when something's going on.
Yeah, I spoke to him.
Like
he
this.
Came up to me.
We were protesting.
Remember these ancient words of wisdom, Mr. Ambassador-san. I say Aoki is a good golfer, but knows not how to make a hook rug.
Famous Japanese golfer, Seo Aoki.
He's a good golfer.
What was that one?
Knows not how to make a hook rug.
Yeah, very deep.
Okay. So we're once again mixing the Japanese and the
that's
Chinese.
That's from the mind of Rob. I don't even know who that freaking golfer is.
He's a famous Japanese golfer.
Japanese.
Yes. Because, oops.
That's all right.
You see the ENG sounds and the, you know, those would be your Chinese. I don't think there are any Chinese golfers on tour, Rob.
All right, let's hear one more before the break. One more.
The smallest bonsai tree is nevertheless uncomfortable up your ass.
Is that from the mind of Rob, too?
Yeah.
Bonsai. Once again, wrong country.
But it translates. I think you know what I'm trying to say.
See, if there had been passersby, they wouldn't have known the difference. They would have thought it was
right. Right. Bonsai. That's Japanese.
That's Japanese.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah, bonsai pine.
Bonsai.
Bonsai.
Hold on. You know, this number one, this cart machine, totally keeps... failing on me every single freaking time. Banzai on the cart machine. Banzai. All right, we'll clear the lines now. Oh, Mike. We have more of this coming up. We got that brand new secret sound.
Very good.
Just for you.
I hope I don't let you down with that one. I'm getting nervous.
You ready for the free listen?
Can you give me a free listen right now?
You and everybody else.
All right, I'll get the pen ready.
The brand new secret sound.
Okay,
selected especially for Mike.
Mm-hmm. I'm feeling pressure.
Here it is.
I'm not going to get it.
There it is.
That is a clicking sound. If you guys were playing with me, screw both of you. You deliberately tricked me in front of a reporter.
This is secret sound number three. That's it.
You know, now I get it. I was sitting there, I fell right into your trap. I was getting all excited. Go, Mike, you'll especially get this one right away.
No, it's because the clicking ones piss you off so much.
I know, they do.
So we made sure that the new one, in fact, was a clicking sound.
Is it a Seo Aoki?
It is not. It is also not a bonsai tree falling.
Bonsai pine.
A bonsai pine. You got a guess, Buzz?
I do.
Hey, all right. What? Hold on. Beer tab.
No.
Not a beer tab.
Okay. Always pay that.
Be the 100th caller now. You get the first shot of the money with the brand new secret sound at 877-365-3636.
Number one, Arbitron Radio. The Don and Mike Show.
George Wendt, Angela Lansbury, and comedian Jeff Cesario.
Good.
And now, because everybody else in show business was out of town or in rehab.
Yes.
Hey now! Hey now! Hank Kingsley!
Okay, good, Kingsley. Good. No, your instincts are absolutely right. Do you mind?
No.
Just my opinion, but I think you want to go, you know, two notes, but you want to go up on the second note. You
see, Kingsley!
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 Don't get afraid of
that riff.
No, be flat.
Kingsley!
Here, you've got it. There it is.
God freaking damn it. The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, a wonderful new twist. The God freaking damn it.
Oh, God freaking damn it. I thought there was something happening.
No, just to put the freaking in the middle of it, that's all.
Freaking.
Hello. Don and Mike Show.
God.
Oh, God. Where are you calling from?
Fredericksburg.
Okay, well, that sounds better now. You sound like you're an awful self. You're the 100th caller, my friend.
Oh, my God.
Right. Hi, what's your name?
Joe.
Joe, where are you from?
Fredericksburg.
Joe, I'm sorry you said that already, from Fredericksburg. You won the Sopranos prize pack. Don't miss our favorite show, The Sopranos, Sunday night at 9. That's 8 Eastern on HBO. But you've also won the Little Bunny Foo Foo Bear.
Yay!
From the Vermont Teddy Bear Company. Call 1-800-829-BEAR or go to their website at www.vermontteddybear.com.
That is awesome.
There you go. There's your Boudiac of prizes. Are you ready to go for $500?
Absolutely.
Brand new Secret Sound number 3, dedicated to Mike.
Yeah.
Because Mike loves the clicking sound.
Yeah, because they all sound so different.
We'll play it for you now. Give you 15 seconds to think about it. Please don't answer until Mike sings like
Roger Daltrey.
All right, you're moving into the classic rock genre.
Yeah, but I told you next week, I'm definitely going to get contemporary.
Godspeed.
Caller, name this sound.
There it is, a common everyday sound. It is not a stapler.
No.
It is not a briefcase opening or closing. And if you win the money, it's courtesy Main Street Title. Yeah. That's like the least amount of effort you've ever put into one.
I tried.
Simply free me.
You know, sometimes I get the concept and I think I'm going to sound like the guy, and then it comes out of my mouth and I know it sounds nothing like him and I get completely discouraged.
For $500, what is that sound?
Is it one of the old type cigarette lighters with the little silver thing that flops up?
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, right. No, I'm sorry. Absolutely not.
I thought I had that one nailed.
Thank you, Evan. Don't forget that every guess is a clue for you. A clue for you. Now, listen, we're going to get right back to Lisa's ambush on the Chinese ambassador.
Good.
But there was a story that Buzz had on the news yesterday that I really want to get to before we move much further in the show.
Okay.
It's the guy in New York who was pouring human feces onto restaurant food all over Manhattan.
Homeless person, I believe, going into these restaurants, and he was arrested and put feces and urine into the salad bar.
Marco Ariello was caught pouring bottles of human feces and urine into the salad bar at the Alpine Gourmet Farm Deli. Police say that they are investigating similar incidents at these restaurants in Penn Station, Grand Central Station, and the general area around 42nd Street.
Right. Okay.
Krispy Kreme donut.
I was so close. You know what? I was so close on Friday night. I was actually walking around, had just a couple of seconds before the train, and I looked over. It's right next to, it's over in the far corner next to a couple of restaurants. There's it's like a strip mall that they have in Penn Station, and there it was. Krispy Kreme, I thought of Rob. I didn't think once of feces or urine.
Well, that's the first place we're going to call. Calling Krispy Kreme at Penn Station, New York.
Very good.
How much a glazed donut is.
Thank you for calling Krispy Kreme. This is Tempe. Can I help you?
Yeah, hi. This is the Don and Mike radio show. We're live on WNEW right now. How are you?
Okay.
Listen, wonder, do you have a large selection of glazed donuts?
Yes, we have glazed.
And are they as popular as ever?
Yes.
Do you have donuts covered in creamy milky chocolate?
Creamy milky chocolate.
Chocolate dipped?
Yeah, this is my manager. She can tell you more about them.
Oh, very good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Hello, may I help you?
Yeah, hi. This is the Don and Mike show. We're on the air at WNEW radio right now.
How are you?
I'm okay.
Hey, listen, we're wondering about, you know, you have delicious donuts at Krispy Kreme.
Do you get any people walking into your store just lingering by the donuts?
Yeah, all the time.
Uh-huh. Really?
Mm-hmm. Do you ever sell donuts that have peanuts on them?
Peanuts?
Yeah.
No.
Like a chocolate cake donut?
How about with corn on them?
No.
Do you have corn muffins?
No, we don't. We sell donuts.
You don't have anything with a corn base to it?
No.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you the reason I'm calling. That we, as I mentioned, we were on WNEW, so we were in New York a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm.
We do a syndicated show, and NEW is one of our stations.
Mm-hmm.
I was in your Krispy Kreme donut, and I couldn't help but hearing the story about how there's a homeless guy who had been infecting food in your area.
Are you
familiar with this?
You heard about this guy?
Yeah, you know what? I'll give you a name and number. You can speak to our spokesperson in reference to that, okay?
Oh, I just wanted to tell you that the donut that I had did not taste like S.
Well, thank you very much.
Can you tell me, do the chocolate donuts that you sell, do they have brown holes?
Have a nice day, okay?
All right, thank you, honey.
At the end of that.
All right. Interview terminated.
All right, let's try the restaurant where they know that the guy put feces in urine.
Right, now what you said yesterday.
On the salad bowl.
And I like this idea. We identify ourselves and we immediately tell them how wonderful we think the salad is. That we're big fans of the salad and we want to ask them how we can get their vinaigrette dressing.
We can order it.
Now they're just their dressing, not specific.
Right.
But what do they put on their salad?
We couldn't identify the taste. It's something we've tasted before.
Uh-huh. Something magical.
Man, it was delicious.
Something that really had zing.
And a bit of aftertaste.
We can still... The salad was so good, we can still taste it.
Oh, damn it.
All right, that number's busy.
Damn it.
All right, how about Caruso's Pizza?
Ah,
now we'll call the rave about the pizza.
That's not David Caruso, is it?
No, I know he's down on his luck.
That's maybe Enrico.
Mushrooms were great.
Caruso.
Hi, Caruso's Pizza?
Yeah.
Hi, this is Don and Mike. We're on the air at WNEW right now. How are you?
Good, how you doing?
Hey, listen, great pizza you have.
Thank you.
We especially wanted to tell you how much we love the pizza we had just a couple of days ago when we were in Midtown Manhattan.
We are really not used to having a pizza with this on. How long have you been serving the Corn Pizza?
Hey, too bad I'm downtown. I'm not in Midtown.
Oh, you're not in Midtown, but you tell the story, huh?
Where exactly this call leading to? Come on, talk to me.
How many Caruso pizzas are there in New York?
There's a lot.
Oh, it's a chain.
You haven't had any homeless people, like, hanging around your pizza?
Oh, you're not around 42nd Street?
No.
You haven't seen anybody, like, carrying a big knapsack with a big mason jar standing next to your pie?
No, not at all.
You hear about that guy that was caught pouring poo and number one and number two? Into the salad bar at a restaurant and maybe tainting the food in other restaurants?
Oh, that's disgusting. No, I never heard of it.
What would you do if you saw somebody doing that in Caruso, in your branch of Caruso?
I don't have a salad bar, so we wouldn't have a problem. Everything's handled by my guys, and it's behind the glass counter.
So is this guy, we're reasonably familiar with the story. Is this guy targeting the salad bars in these restaurants primarily?
I really don't know. It's the first time I'm hearing about it.
Mike, it says police are investigating similar incidents at... Krispy Kreme.
Okay, well, they don't have a salad bar. Huh?
Zaro's Bakery.
Right.
And Caruso's Pizza.
Well, now, I guess if his modus operandi is that he targets salad bars, you know, maybe just do Caruso's Pizzas have salad bars?
The one I don't know, because the one I don't doesn't have one, but I'm sure there's other ones.
Let me ask you this. I'm sure the Caruso's Pizza is the best pizza available in New York. I'll give you a free plug right there. But can you be honest with me over the last couple of days? Has anybody ever come in after they've had a slice and said, man, this tastes like S?
No, never.
Hasn't happened?
Thank God, never.
Thank God. Yes. Well, good for you.
Yeah, all right, thank you, Mike.
Keep making those delicious pies.
All right, guys. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right,
forget about it.
Let's try, the Alpine restaurant again.
Now, that's the one with the salad bar. This is the one we're not going to, inquire. We're just going to rave about it.
We loved this. That's busy.
Methinks the phone might be off the hook.
Might be.
Maybe so. What about all the fixins?
Zaro's Bakery.
Dang. I got that on the brain.
Zaro's Bakery. It's right there in Central Station. Grand Central Station.
Mm-hmm. You can read about this.
Sterilization!
Stop. All right.
Zaro's. Would that be Italian or Greek?
Z-A-R-O.
It sounds like Greek.
It's got to be a Greek.
Well, we can rave about the baklava.
Well, that was a fax machine, so obviously we got the wrong number there.
Damn it.
Police say the 34-year-old Marco Arello.
Marco Pupo.
Marco Ariello was caught pouring bottles of human feces and urine into the salad bar.
This is not the best salad I've ever had.
At the Alpine Gourmet Farm Deli.
We're pretty sure that's what it is. They're still going over it at the lab. There's a job, huh?
Really? Picking through the lettuce? Hold on, it's ringing at the Alpine.
Okay. Very good.
This is kind of the place we've been waiting for.
Hello, Wayne.
Hi, this is the Alpine?
Yeah.
Hi, listen, this is Don and Mike. Hi, we're on the air right now, WNEW Radio.
Hold on a second.
How are you?
Yeah, hello?
Yes, hello. This is Don and Mike. We're on the air from WNEW in New York. How are you today?
Good, thank you.
May we throw a compliment your way?
But I don't know. My boss is not here.
No, we want to give you a compliment.
We want to tell you that we come from...
Oh,
hello?
She didn't want to hear it.
I can't believe it. We want to give you a compliment. My boss not here.
We wanted to talk about how delicious the salad was. And what was that special ingredient? Were they olives?
Tiny bits of carrot.
Tiny bits of carrot.
Hold them back and tell them the truth. We're from out of town. We only come to New York a couple of times a month.
Whenever we're in New York, we eat at the Alpine because of the salad.
Hi, this is Don and Mike again from WNEW. We're on the radio, and you hung up on us, and we don't need...
I don't have any choice. My boss is not here.
Ma'am, please listen. We don't want to talk to your boss. We want to tell you something. We broadcast our show from New York City only a couple of times a month.
And whenever we're in New York, we eat at the Alpine, and we wanted to tell you how delicious it was, especially the salad.
And we were wondering if there's any way that we could buy some of the salad dressing, because the last time we were there,
I didn't have any choice. I'm just work here, right?
Yeah. Well, just delicious.
Can you just
talking to my boss, okay?
Don't hang up.
The salad dressing has left a tangy...
She hung up.
She hung up again.
She sounded Chinese.
You know, I read in New Yorker their salad bar is consistently rated number two.
Oh, man. Salad-y.
I just got some.
Should I try her one more time just to tell her we just want to say we love the salad?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, of course. I think she liked it.
And we could speak to someone else. The other guy just palmed us off to her, and she said, my boss not here.
Tell her you'd like to speak to someone else.
Yes. Try the chunky blue cheese.
We just love
it. Ask for Tony.
Whenever.
Just let's take a chance.
Hello?
Hi, can we speak
to... here, right?
Can we speak to Tony, please? She's savvy. Mm-hmm. She's, you know, doing that I don't speak English thing, but she really knows exactly what's going on.
Sure she does.
She's a cover-up.
Sure she does. All right.
But we're never going to get that dressing.
I just want to tell her that it's left a tart aftertaste in my mouth for the last 4 days. And my teeth have started to turn brown.
It's not a nicotine stain either.
She's tricky, no?
Yes. She's smart.
She didn't say a word.
Yeah, okay. So that's that.
All right, well, we tried.
Yeah. You know, maybe we roll over there the next time. We're in Midtown.
Oh, right.
I'd go down there and eat lunch.
You'd eat lunch at the Alpine where they found human feces and human urine?
Absolutely.
Okay, have a nice lunch by yourself.
All right, well, we tried.
Nice going on that Caruso pizza, Rob. There's only like 8,000 of them in New York.
Well, it happens.
All right.
Let's get back to Lisa's tape of Lisa at the Chinese embassy. Just about, actually, she just came back just in time for the show, so this tape is very fresh.
The Caruso's pizza in Brooklyn.
Right.
Fresh on the heels of a Sao Aoki.
Now,
China.
I did have a chat with Lisa during the spots to find out what she did read and what she did not read.
Uh-huh.
She did not read Mr. Ambassador-san. Boy, am I sorry. Sorry you're too stupid to release the Americans. But seriously, Mr. Ambassador, let them go. We want our folks back home.
Let my people go.
That one she didn't read. She also didn't read, really, come on, let them go. No fooling. Hold on, you did read these?
I read that one. I'm sorry. That one I didn't mark. I'm sorry.
But you didn't? How come you didn't read the one about, boy, am I sorry? Sorry you're too stupid to release the Americans.
I don't know, because it was, there's the cops. I have no explanation.
All right. Okay, well, let's get back to the tape. Now, I freaked out a little bit, right? You freaked out down there a little bit today?
But I have no idea what we're listening to.
A little bit.
Okay. Here we go. This is the back of the embassy.
Understandable. An intimidating situation.
Here she is.
Bonsai tree is nevertheless uncomfortable up your ass.
Like the bonsai tree. from Japan.
Jesus. All the same.
All right, here's the next one.
Mr. Ambassador, release the hostages and America will love you long time.
That's a good one, right?
That is a good one.
Okay, here's another one.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Can I get you, can you get a demo here? Can I get your name?
My name, if I'm going to demo? Is that all you need? Just a name?
Yep.
Who is this dude?
Okay, this is the cop, yeah.
The cop, okay.
When I first arrived, he was standing there, or sitting in his car right out front.
Sure.
And I'm sitting on the bench, you know.
You know, I would venture to say if Lisa wasn't as good looking as she is, the cop would roll up and say, "What are you demonstrating?" But you know,
right?
Hey, can I get your name if you're gonna demo here? Hey,
yeah, that's what they call it, demo. That's why I repeated my name if I'm gonna demo. So I turned the thing off so I can tell him my name, and I was like, "Is that all you need?" He was like, "Yes." What are you here demoing? And I said, "I'm here to demo." Well, the situation. I said, and he's like, what? Yeah, the troops? Yeah. And the AU professor, and he's like, all right, well, how long are you going to be? It's like, just a few minutes.
You know, if she wasn't...
like, okay, thanks.
If she wasn't hot, if we had said, like, Rob out, the guy would have said,
Rob,
listen.
But Rob probably would be in the back of a paddy wagon right now.
You know, he doesn't...
I'm sorry, I protest.
Listen, squarehead.
I protest, damn it.
Get the F out of here.
All right, listen, here we go. Because now she's done with the cop.
We met the ambassador. The only good radio management is no such thing.
An unrelated comment.
The deal is for suckers. Sandwich only.
Okay, hold on. Rewind that one. Because that one is especially for you, Mike.
Okay, very good.
Okay. Not like the secret sound, but this is especially for you.
All right, excellent.
With the dealings we've had at the subway down the street.
The meal deal is for suckers. Sandwich only.
Dear, dear.
Really, nothing to do with China or the spandau.
Not at all.
No. It's just every time we go into the subway down the street, you just want to buy a sandwich. They go, meal deal.
Meal deal.
Meal deal.
Meal deal.
Hey, Ambassador, do not pierce your cheek before drinking imported beer.
Okay, that was from Rob. I don't get that one. What was it?
I think it's another Japanese thing.
Yeah.
See, you can readily identify the ones from Rob on this.
Right.
Yeah, but there was something about piercing in the actual list of proverbs you gave me yesterday. So I said,
what was the I didn't
hear. Do not pierce your cheek before drinking an imported or before drinking imported beer, because the beer will fall out your cheek. It makes sense.
No, it does. It
good
sucks.
Advice.
Did you get the one about karaoke in?
Okay. All right. That's a good one.
Karaoke.
Japanese.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was one. That's Japanese.
Kara, you guys know it's Japanese. It's very Japanese. There's nothing more Japanese than karaoke.
Well, you know, it shows you, though, the Japanese have contributed an awful lot to this country. The Chinese, very little.
All right, bud. Take the blame, though.
Eating soup with chopsticks, effective weight loss program.
Eating soup with chopsticks,
effective like weight loss program.
Ambassador Son, even the best sake will rust the ancient gong.
Okay, now... Rob's busting a gun. I think it's obvious which ones come from Rob.
Yes.
That one.
Proverbs.
Let me find. Oh, that was the. Oh, is she on the Proverbs now?
Yes.
Well, how come you didn't do the Mr. Ambassador? Why should we apologize? You never said you were sorry for karaoke. Where's that one?
There. Like I said, I mixed them up a little bit. It's coming.
All right, so now we're getting some proverbs,
right.
Along with some protests.
I love the proverbs.
My protest, my demo chance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go.
Remember, Mr. Ambassador, how to walk your dog just might be a cookbook. Because, you know, they eat dogs.
Yeah.
Got it, okay.
Yeah,
walk,
W-O-K. Right.
How to walk your dog.
Right.
Yeah.
A Toyota will not run on soy sauce.
That was a proverb.
That was a proverb?
That was a proverb. A Toyota will not run on a
Swiss bus. Was that a Spiewak proverb?
Yes, it was.
A Toyota, a fine Japanese car.
So was even the best sake will rust the ancient gong.
Sake, a tremendous beverage invented in Japan.
Really?
All right. These are all Japanese.
What about, I got a good one coming up, though.
What's the one you got coming up? You had karaoke.
Yeah, I got, all right, well, that was funny, though.
But what was?
What about wax on, wax off?
Wax on, wax off.
You're Karate Kid.
Karate Kid, Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah.
Japanese man.
No. Strike out again.
Yes. Yes.
Mr. Ambassador, the brown sauce with the biological odor does not go on the dumpling.
Very good. A Chinese one.
Thank you. That was not a proverb. That was a protest.
Ah.
There you go.
Power.
Power.
Here we go.
Mr. Ambassador, why should we apologize? You never said you were sorry for karaoke.
Funny.
All right, so it's the wrong country.
It's still funny, though.
Well, you know, it's not like we're doing it once. You know, there's a theme here. So, you know, if anybody asked, we knew the mistake.
Right.
But we knew it.
We but really.
We didn't.
We didn't.
Mr. Ambassador, you must have a black belt in being a jackass.
That was just an insult.
Yeah.
You must have a black belt of being a jackass.
It's going to be part of the convo.
What? What was that?
It was going to be with part of
You know what? Rob, look at this. I got every goddamn microphone turned on.
She's on mic 4.
Right. And I'm not hearing her.
It's on sometimes and not on all the time.
That's weird.
See? I don't get anything out of that.
Switch to 3.
Hello?
3. Hi there.
Hi. That was supposed to be one of the things I was just going to chat, you know, with the passersby. You know, he's a jackass, huh?
Right.
And so I ad-libbed and just threw that in
okay.
there.
Worked it in.
For you guys, because I thought it was well written.
All right, here we go. Look at that. Look at that sound. Rob's getting out of that microphone.
Is it on now?
Yeah, it's on, but we were getting like a...
Might be a bad connection.
Mirror, dear.
You know what? I think I'll take this to Wendell.
Very good.
Okay.
All right.
Chicken make lousy house pets.
What makes lousy house pets?
Chicken.
Chicken.
Chicken make lousy house pets.
No, I like that one a lot.
So we're okay with
I
that
like
one?
I like that one a lot.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. This is funny. The whole thing's funny.
Ambassador, son, you go now. No trouble.
Now you knew we'd have that one in.
Right. You know the guy in Falling Down, though?
Yeah.
I mean, just because we're on a theme here?
Yes.
Korean.
See, I wouldn't have guessed that.
I'm pretty sure Korean.
Yes. Yeah. Mr. Ambassador,
okay,
son.
Okay, you made your point. Let them go. Come on. Just let them go.
I like that. You got to get the mental picture. Yep. She's just standing in front of the embassy, just screaming this stuff with a bullhorn.
Did you have the same energy that you have sitting here right now? Was this your heart wasn't really in this?
Well, I'm just hanging out. You know, I was sitting on the bench and just looking at him. You know, come on, buddy. You know,
come on,
it's matter of fact, just let them go. Come on.
Let them go.
You're not like the normal protesters. They would get down outside of an embassy. There you go.
Let them go. Right. Let our people go.
Yeah, you didn't give us any of that cheerleader stuff.
No. Exactly.
Okay. Hey, really, come on. Let them go. It's a win-win situation. Come on, just let them go. Remember these ancient words of wisdom, Mr. Ambassador. What's on, what's up?
Yeah, that's a come on. That's a good one. Come on.
From Japan.
Wax on. Oh, is that it? Oh, all right. That's it. Well, once again, we've tried.
Yes, you did.
We tried and we failed to get Mr. Ambassador's son to...
No heads at the window either. They weren't looking out the window.
And nothing on the wire, Buzz? No progress made?
Nothing about it, no. No progress.
Not even after we've played these on the radio tonight?
No, I think they're still waiting to feel the effect of it.
Anything from Japan?
Japan has decided that they'd like Rob to be their ambassador.
There's so many great ones, though. Ambassador, why are your people historically poor drivers? But isn't that what even really a
Japanese thing?
I think that
thing?
Can be your, I think that, well, you know, not necessarily.
All right. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Was that a
Chinese?
A Chinese. Oh, so that was a Chinese movie.
Yes, Chinese.
All right. Okay. Release the Hostages, America Will Love You Long Time. I know we had the...
You know, if you want to be technical about it, Love You Long Time.
Was it, what, Korean?
Full Metal Jacket, right?
Vietnamese. Okay, well, you know. It's all the same thing. Close enough. The karaoke. God damn, that's my fault. Although it still looks funny, Mr. Ambassador, why should we apologize?
Well, it makes you think also about the, as far as in American life, Chinese contributions. We have Chinese food.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to think of the...
Chinese checkers.
The you know, mainstream pop culture, right. Chinese right. elements of our... And I, it's difficult.
Really. They don't
certainly more difficult than finding Japanese contributions.
They don't give us dick, you know. They teach us how to run over citizens in the middle of Tiananmen Square with a tank.
I think you would have a lot of made in China on different... textiles and different items here in the United States.
Right, like made in Kathy Lee type sweatshirts.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Any Chinese cars? I was trying to think last
time. No, absolutely not.
Don't use the, what's that name? That we, Mike and I,
rickshaw.
That thing that Mike and I have always dreamed that you would pull us around in. The rickshaw.
I don't think there are any Chinese cars over here.
Wow.
Korean cars.
Great right. disc jockey name, though. Hey, it's Rick Shaw with you.
Rick Shaw, baby.
Hey, good afternoon. Rick Shaw getting together on Good Looking Tuesday.
Fantastic, Mr. Ambassador.
Good Looking Tuesday. You go now. No trouble.
Wax on.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello?
Hi.
Don.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick. You guys are forgetting the biggest contribution of all that makes July 4th great.
Fireworks.
Right? Fireworks.
And yeah. also the noodle.
Yeah, yeah,
right. The Chinese don't think they claim authorship of pasta, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no, pasta's from Italy.
From Italy,
I tell you.
There's a big debate that the Chinese invented spaghetti.
Marco Polo took spaghetti back to Italy.
From China. So the Chinese are actually invented spaghetti.
I refuse to believe
See,
that
would have been a good one. But, you know, Mr. Ambassador, we know the Italians really did invent the noodle.
They did.
They could eat our noodle.
They did. I refuse to hear that.
Yeah, it's a shock, isn't it?
Yeah. No, really? Come on. It had to be an Italian who invented
fireworks,
that stuff.
Though. Yeah, absolutely, gunpowder.
Yeah, they are good with fireworks.
Tony Soprano in the first season said, "Why would a people eat with sticks invent a noodle?"
That's right. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Was he in his bathroom when he said that?
Well, of course. Lost that one. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I'd like to get on with Don and Mike.
Yeah, you're on. Hello, what?
Hey, Don and Mike, I'd like to, the biggest contribution that China has given us is the old Chinese fire drill.
That's right.
Chinese fire drill.
That's right.
Yeah.
Excellent contribution. Yes,
absolutely.
Well, once again, we've tried. And listen, for all the Chinese people out there who are pissed off that we're doing this every day, let our people go and we'll stop it.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, tomorrow, another guaranteed 4-star laugh riot bit.
Absolutely.
We'll be prepared for you.
Fire drill.
That might be my favorite.
Chinese fire drill. We'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Lincoln, the Don and Mike Show.
What if at a key moment in the game, my uniform bursts open and, oops, my bosoms come flying out. That might draw a crowd, right?
You think there are men in this country who ain't seen your bosoms?
Tasting faintly of salt, the Don and Mike Show.
So my wife did that.
You didn't know that?
No.
And I haven't, I saved it, and I haven't even told my wife that the message is on the machine yet.
Oh.
But my wife hasn't gotten it. She has to get it from me. You know how nervous we get when they all get together.
Yeah.
But they're going to do it when we're out of town.
Well, I mean, I don't know if they're going to do it, but they're going to try to do it, I guess.
Your wife wants to do it.
I did not give her permission
to do that.
Uh-oh. I hope I didn't get her in trouble.
Oh, we also forgot Chinese handcuffs.
You know, the things for your fingers.
The finger things. And also we forgot in Boardwalk. Hi, honey.
Hi, boo-boo.
Oriental Avenue.
There you go.
You know, one of the blues, one of the light blues right at the very beginning of the game.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that in Connecticut is one of the light blues, right?
They're like, mm-hmm. what are they, like $40 rent, something like that?
Very cheap.
You could put a hotel on Oriental Avenue for like $800.
Are they the cheapest properties on the board?
So.
Mm-hmm. No.
No, the maroon. I mean, the...
Baltic
and Mediterranean come cheaper. Those are purple.
Purple.
Oh, gotcha.
And where does Buzz's basket come from?
Oh, that's Taiwan. That's Taiwan, China, technically.
Yes,
well, there you go.
Honey, listen, here's why I'm calling you.
I know. I was hoping, you know, I was hoping to take you and Mike out of that loop entirely. I should have waited till later.
I'm sorry, I intercepted the message.
He just mentioned to me a second ago. He said, hey, you know, your wife left the message from my wife to...
You know, I hope you don't beat her or something to make her say no.
What?
I hope you don't beat her and make her say no.
Well, you know, of course I beat her and make her say no.
I know, that's what I'm afraid of.
So what do you want to do with it? Now you want to take Laura out.
I thought it would be a good idea if when you guys are out of town,
yes.
If, you know, the females connected to the show have a little,
you know what, Laura,
together.
Laura can't make it for you.
Why?
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of.
Does she have an appointment to fall down some stairs?
I don't like this at all. No, I will pass along the message, gladly.
Mike just had all the doorways narrowed.
What do you want planned? Now, you're including Carrie in this, right?
Carrie and Marcia. Yeah. Marcia was mentioned in the message, too.
Gary, Marcia, and see if Roz was available.
Roz, that's right. Roz mm-hmm. Stevens, too.
Hi.
Wow, hey, that's a great night out.
Mm-hmm.
With those five women getting together. They're wild.
I think it's only trouble. I think the potential is
me too.
For true trouble. Someone, one of us will be fired when that evening is over. One of us will be fired.
That's why I didn't mention it to you, Boo-Boo.
Or quit or commit suicide.
You know, I know you boys stress. God knows what badness you have, on your mind. But I really, maybe I'm naive, but I think it's just like Bart. Bart wasn't doing anything bad at the movies. He just didn't want the parents to see him.
Right. It's just better if the wives have minimal contact with each other.
I don't know why you're so paranoid, and it would make for a nice, you know, get-together, and we could commiserate with each other, you know, and misery loves company. I thought it would be fun.
Well, all right. I mean, it took me by surprise when Mike mentioned that.
Right.
That you had, and speaking of paranoid, why would I be paranoid? Well, because Mike said to me, hey, what about this thing with the wives getting together? And I gave him a blank-eyed stare and said,
I thought you knew.
I know not this plan you're speaking of.
Well, it just germinated, and I haven't even spoken to Laura. I'm sure she'll be physically able to come to the phone and give me a call back.
Now, she come down with something.
Unexpected.
Unexpected.
Unexpected. But you know what? Good. You know, in one way, you all deserve each other, because women, and I don't mean you, honey, I just mean in general.
Haven't you and Laura and Roz gotten together before?
Well, sure, and the thing is,
it was totally harmless, but I think the only missing links were Carrie Spiewak and Marcia Elston.
Marcia's been out with them as well.
Really? Marcia went out.
Oh, okay. Well, I think that was a painless, I don't think we got in trouble that time.
No, I don't think we did either.
No,
it's just the thought that they were conspiring. The thing that got me is that they're conspiring without at least giving me a heads up.
I thought you always knew everything.
I thought I did, too.
Originating out of your house. I know nothing that originates out of my house.
I thought I did.
It's the way it's been for quite some time.
You know what? If it's a go, then I would have mentioned it to you, because it's not a secret. But it just seems to me that our husbands have unusual jobs, and you know, it's not a lot of people who can relate to your particular set of circumstances, so you know, then we can commiserate with each other.
Right, gotcha. And you know,
I mean, how many wives get together and say, yeah, well, they had strippers in today. Yeah, right.
See, you know, okay, really? You want to know what the real worry is?
Mm-hmm.
That's the worry. That's the worry. That's the worry that the group gets together.
It can't, nothing good can come of it.
No, I agree.
I mean, when something doesn't happen when they all get together, I'm extremely relieved.
Yeah, but something will happen. They'll discover something on the show that one of them doesn't like, then all of a sudden, you know, it's like that commercial, and so on, and so on, and so
right?
on, and so on.
Absolutely.
But on the other hand, it's good, because, you know, frankly, you know, I tell you something about broads, and especially about my wife. This morning...
Mr. Broad Expert, go ahead.
This morning especially, you know, I got to get up early to go do my goddamn kickboxing, and Bart's getting up early because he's taking himself to school, and Frida wakes up earlier than either of us.
Okay.
Frida wakes up like at 5:30, and she gets up, and she does her running on the treadmill and stuff, and it's about 6:15, and both Bart and I are just dragging ass downstairs to get downstairs. And I look at him and I go, good morning, and he goes, good morning. And I turn the coffee machine on, and I say, all this now to Bart. Did you go get paper? I mean, it's like I'm leaving out words.
You go get paper.
No, you go get paper. And meanwhile, downstairs, here comes, June Cleaver, happy because she's already up. She's exercised. She's got the rest of the day is whatever she does. She comes down and she goes, well, good morning, boys. How are you guys doing today?
Needless to say, I'm up later than you both doing stuff. I wake up earlier. I was running. I come down, and I'm in a happy mood until I see your faces.
And so she comes down, and she just starts this nonstop chatter, which is like, well, now, listen, here's what we've got going today. Now, after school today, you're going to be doing this. And now, Dad's going to be going to New York, and now you got to make sure that you do this. You got to make sure that you call this company for me. And neither one of us said a word.
Mm-hmm.
She just turned and looked at us. She said, well, if this is the way it's down here, I'm going upstairs. She says to me, see you after your workout. Mm-hmm. Says to Bart, see you after school. Mm-hmm. Goodbye.
Didn't like the low energy level of the room.
And
it's not only low energy, it's grumpy.
What time is this? What
6:15 a.m.
That's early.
Yeah. 6:15 a.m.
That's early with your schedule, too. I mean, this is when you're working. I mean, you work late in the day.
Yeah.
You get home later than most people get home.
And same with Bart. Bart has a part-time job now, and Bart is, obviously going to school every day, so we're dragging ass. And frankly,
yeah, but you're snoring before I even come to bed, so it's not like you're staying up. Your work's not keeping you up at night.
No, but God knows I could sleep later than 5:45 a.m.
Well, I don't think it would harm you to be polite and civil in the morning.
I am polite and civil, but I cannot offer this happy-go-lucky, I've got my whole day in front of me. Gosh, I wonder what exciting experience I'm going to have today. I just can't give it to you at 6:15, especially when I haven't had my coffee.
It wasn't even that. I made a reference to your working out. Well, that's good for you. It'll be, when you're going to work out, it's good for your body or something.
No. I know what it was. The other night when I was watching whatever bad show I was watching.
You were watching The Simpsons.
The Simpsons.
Whatever intellectual show you're watching at the time.
It was a great Simpsons.
I missed it this weekend.
It was a great Simpsons where Homer and Bart became con men. And they would, put on fake mustaches and stuff.
I saw a promo for it. They didn't go too much. I don't like it when they do the too much of the dumb stuff with Homer.
It was funny.
It was good.
Yeah, there's lots of great bad Homer stuff. So I'm watching The Simpsons, and at one point I come out of the room, and I say to Frida, what are you watching? And she's, of course,
well, The Discovery Channel.
Yeah, and I said it just like that, too.
The Discovery Channel.
Yeah, that's
and she says, she says, look, there's a story of this guy named George. And this is a guy who was terribly fat, and his girlfriend was going to leave him or something like this. And
he wasn't terribly fat. He had a little bit of a pot belly he wanted to get rid of. And it just showed how when you exercise, how all these new blood vessels come in and all these fat burning. And it was just interesting to see what happens when you exercise.
It was Chicken George. It was Ben Vereen.
But anyway, that show compared to The Simpsons, I'm going to watch The Simpsons anytime. So what she says to me this morning is, as she's in the middle of all of her, happy talk, she says, you're going to work out? And I said, yes. And she says, well, great, because we don't want you to be like George.
No, I didn't. I said, it's something like it's good for you, like it was for George.
And I said,
great.
You're comparing me to the fat guy on the Discovery Channel.
And then you made me say, excuse me, but George was a lot slimmer than you. It would have been a favor if I had compared you to him. And, but you're so irritable, and I hadn't compared you.
Damn right I'm irritable. I mean, in the first thing in the morning at 6:15, I don't want to talk. I just don't want to talk.
Well, you know what? That's the new rule at our house. I will give you the completely cold, silent shoulder from now on.
I like monosyllabic, caveman talk.
We won't talk in the morning. That's done.
Good morning. Me love you.
Time for BM.
Me love you, yes.
You notice the rest of this week. You can come back tomorrow and report. There will be no conversation from me to you in the morning.
Where am sports section? Need toilet paper.
Need newspaper. Need paper.
Paper.
Rock, paper, scissors.
But come on now. Tell the truth. Tell how much weight I've lost now. Come on, say it.
I don't feel like talking right now.
Oh, come on.
You don't feel like talking in the morning. I'm not in the mood now. I'm going to the grocery store.
Come on, because people won't believe me if I say it.
You've lost 100 pounds.
Oh, you're such a liar.
Congratulations.
Now, come on.
Well, I don't want to offend you.
Please.
31 pounds, so you say.
All right, bravo.
No. Not so I say.
Yeah.
So Attila the trainer says.
Well, you know, you shouldn't insult me and then expect me to compliment you. It doesn't work that way.
Well, I wasn't insulting you. You insulted me this morning with the stuff about George from the Discovery Channel.
I didn't say you look like George. I said as long as it would work on your body like it did on George's, because, pardon me, you happen to be human also. It worked on Ellie McBeal's body it worked on George's.
But this guy was on the Discovery Channel because there was something wrong with him, right?
No, he wasn't. It was showing what your body does when you exercise. God, you're so sensitive. For a guy who insults, I'd say, roughly 50 people an hour when you work, you can't take the least bit of criticism.
No.
It wasn't even criticism. It was a comment.
I just wish you would watch bad TV like me.
The Simpsons? How many hundreds of years has that been on? I watched it like the first 15 years.
Can I tell you something? There is, aside from The Sopranos,
it has been on a long time.
How long has it? Seriously.
The Simpsons, I've done The Simpsons.
That has got to be a record.
I'm ready for a new show.
Yeah, done.
Outside of The Sopranos, there is no show that consistently makes me laugh like Homer Simpson. No show. I mean, I watch it every once in a while.
Malcolm in the Middle's pretty good.
Yeah, but not like The Simpsons, though.
No.
The Simpsons, Homer does something, at least one thing every week, that really makes me laugh out loud. Homer's the greatest.
All right, boo-boo, I'm going to the grocery store, and I already look like an idiot standing out front of the grocery store yelling into my phone.
All right, sweetie.
All right, I love you anyway.
All right, I love you anyway, too. I love you.
But no conversation in the morning.
You know what? A-okay with me. How about this? How about the talking? The talking begins... What do you say, 7:30?
No, I think 9 a.m.
All right. Ask for it and you'll get it.
All right, good.
Okay.
We'll see.
All right.
I know you. You will be so pouty sulky. You don't want to converse, but you like it when I'm happy. So.
No. Hold on. This can't. If we're going to do this thing where we're not going to talk in the morning.
This isn't going to work.
You can't be pouty. And you know, be in that bitchly cow corn way.
If I'm even quiet thinking about something, have something on my mind, you ask me 100 times, what's the matter? What's wrong?
That's right,
you don't like it when I'm quiet.
Well, you can't just sit and think about something. When my wife sits and thinks about something, she stares and she frowns.
Right.
And it drives me nuts until I finally go, what do you I asked her that just the other day. I said, What is it? And it was something stupid like drapery or something.
Yeah, right. I'm just thinking whatever I'm thinking. But so I bet you'll crack first. I bet you crack tomorrow.
All right. I bet you I don't.
All right, good.
I bet you I don't. Love you. Bye. I tell you what, that's a sweet plan if I can get my wife to live up to
9 a.m.?
Good luck. 9 a.m. No talking until 9 a.m.
I see you probably won't like it.
I say I'll love it. I'll say you have no idea how much my wife loves to talk first thing in the morning. You have no idea.
But there might be vital communication that you will require prior to 9 a.m. That would be the only kink in the armor.
And I would think that she would probably, that could be the asterisk that would be allowed.
See, you're already putting qualifiers on it. She's going to stick to her guns now, and you're already putting a qualifier on it.
Well, then she can certainly nod, or she can write it down if it was something important.
But like, I thought you're not allowed to speak either. Or are you allowed to speak whenever you want to speak?
Well, it's my house. I'll speak. She just doesn't have to listen.
But trust me. I thought it was an agreement between the two of you that neither one of you speak.
But I won't be speaking to her.
Who will you be speaking to?
Well, to Bart until he leaves to go to school.
But that'll be the kind of communication you can handle, which is a series of clicks and grunts.
Yeah, because really the first thing in the morning, I mean, I swear to God bless her. My wife wakes up, and why not? Look at the wonderful life she has married to me. But she wakes up in the morning, she is, without a doubt, the happiest person I've ever met at 6 o'clock in the morning.
That's early. That's early in the morning to be functional.
She jumps up, and I mean, I'm not talking about any coffee, any espresso, any of that. She jumps up, and she's right away, boom. What do you think about what we were talking about yesterday? Yeah. I read this book last night, and it is fantastic. Did I tell you what my mom told me? Hey, you know that book that you're reading? I'd like to read that. You know that John Grisham book that you were reading? I thought the end of that book was a lot different than the way you described it. It's like, I'm just sitting there going, yeah, I have not had my crap yet. I have not had a cup of coffee yet.
Please refer to that as a BM.
And my BM yet.
Thank you.
Yet all she wants to do is talk all morning long.
Right. I don't know if I'd use the word happy, but Marcia's much the same way. She's very chatty in the morning and questions, a million questions.
Yeah,
I'm not prepared to deal with questions early in the morning. You know, she and I have had this conversation.
Bingo.
Yeah, it's just questions.
That's exactly
the questions, at least until after 7 or 7:30.
That's exactly it.
Then I'm okay.
You're right. That's I don't know.
It must be. Maybe it's a difference between men and women. I don't know.
What about you, Mike?
I wake the house up every morning. I get up about 7 o'clock, and I get everybody up, and my wife's not a morning person. She doesn't, she's not very communicative in the morning. Quite often.
Lucky man.
Quite often.
Lucky man.
But I don't like that. I like to actually have, I don't want to say that I'm perky and happy in the morning, but I kind of like get going. I would be the morning person in my house, and if my kids go to sleep past 9 o'clock, which happens sometimes when you have little kids, they're, you know, kind of dragging in the morning, too, like it was this morning.
Well, I'm a morning person. I even wake up on Saturday.
You get up 45 minutes earlier than I do. I mean, 7 o'clock, as a matter of fact, a lot of times with me, it's 7:30 because I have to take my daughter to school at 8:30.
I wake up early every single morning of the week, but it's the same thing as Buzz just said. Mm-hmm. When I wake up, I really don't want to sit down and play an edition of 20 questions.
I almost had a meltdown when I dropped my daughter off for school today. I pull in and I pull my car over into the in front of the school, and I get out, and time is always of the essence. That's why I'm curt with people. And I get my daughter out, we get her backpack out, we're starting to walk, and a woman pulls right in back of me, and apparently there wasn't enough room between the two cars. She says, excuse me, could you pull up just a few feet, please? And, you know, it might seem like a tiny request, but an incredible, you know, I've got a 5-year-old out of the car, ready to go, handheld. I'm like, okay, wait here. I go around, I get into my car, I put the car in drive, another car pulls out, and this woman pulls around and pulls in front of me with not a word spoken. And, you know, it's my kid's school, so I can't say anything.
Right.
Although I seriously, and she drops her kid off, and then she's taking this sweater off in this very violent way. And I really just wanted to go, all I wanted to do at that moment, my wonderful morning, I had a great morning until that little laser second, and I wanted to just go over to her window of her car and just go, excuse me, others! Other human beings!
Really? Can't relate, Mike. Don't have to take my kid to school anymore.
You know, I'm just at the beginning of that.
Mm. Can't relate. Can't tell you what a great feeling that is.
Yeah, you know. I can't compete with you on that level at all. I've got 30 more years of doing it.
Hell, you're locked in.
I'm locked in. And it just, oh, man.
I cannot tell you the incredible amount of joy that I get.
Mm-hmm.
Watching him drive himself to school every day.
After all these years. Yeah. Got to be cool.
Goodbye.
Well, I got one way that I'm going
to now it's like, you know, the first couple of days.
Right.
Now it's like, speed. Go ahead. Get there fast. Bye-bye.
Yep.
Drive on the wrong side of the road. Close your eyes when you're going on a beltway. See you later.
Well, you know, I knew you talked about this the last time when I was saying I'm right at the beginning, but I got something that's maybe going to put a little bee in your bonnet on this one.
What?
I'm working out a deal with a UPS guy.
All right. For what, to take your kids to school?
You betcha. Totally against regulations, but, you know, we're going to see if we can work it.
Come on, you
are right back there with the packages.
Of course I'm kidding.
Oh, all right.
Jesus Christ.
Of course
I'm kidding.
I don't. No, here, Catherine, Elizabeth, get into the delivery truck. You're going to school now. Right back there with the packages.
I don't know.
Unrestrained.
I was going to say it would be more work because you'd have to put them in a box anyway.
With air holes.
It's a wash.
Well, everybody.
Ready for school.
I'm up.
Just be advised that the wives are getting together when we get out of town.
Well, yeah, hopefully, if they all can, you know, get those schedules to work out okay.
If they all...
I sure hope that works out okay.
If they're feeling all right.
They got together, at least your wife, my wife, and Roz got together, and it was fine.
Yeah.
I don't think there was any fallout from that.
And Marcia might have been there for that one.
Marcia was there, too. They all got together, and everything worked out fine.
It was the time the wives decided to come to the Las Vegas-style show, and in the end, they thought better of it, and so they went out to dinner instead.
That's great. Remember that?
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's the last time they got together. They decided, hey, we'll all go to a Las Vegas-style show.
But then they ended up not going to the show.
It doesn't matter. The subject came up.
Mm-hmm.
This is total S when they get together.
Yeah.
Total S.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be screwed.
Yep.
Well, we got to separate those bras. We must keep them separated at all time. You must never give your wife that telephone message.
Okay, she wanted to. No, because she's going to hear about it now because I talked about it on the radio. Mm-hmm. It's just going to be some out of pocket on my. I'm going to have to let her go away with her sister or something like that. Weekend somewhere.
Just keep her away from the other wives. I don't care what you do. Do not go out with them.
Right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike. Yeah. Father Time.
Yes.
How you doing?
Hi, we're doing great, thanks.
Yeah, I just want to put this on here. I lived next to Rock Soldiers in Nam, and Walking the Dog was proverbially the number one hit on the charts. And if you don't know how to walk the dog, believe me, they'll show you how to walk the dog.
What, are you still talking about the Chinese thing?
Yeah, the Rock Soldiers, actually the Koreans are the ones that love smacking on pooches.
Gotcha. All right, listen, we've moved past that. We're on our wives right now.
We're smacking on pooches.
We're on our wives.
Yeah, there you go.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, I just have an Oriental contribution.
What? Another Oriental contribution. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, the stress balls.
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh. Robbie, the ones that jingle, yeah.
Benoit ball. Didn't you say that they were selling those all over Chinatown in New York?
They couldn't keep them on the shelf.
All over the place.
Are they called, aren't Benoit balls what you put inside?
Yeah. Benoit balls are dirty balls.
Dirty balls.
Steel.
Usually. They're dirty ones. What are the balls, the stainless steel balls that you put together in your hand? Is there a name for those?
Yeah.
The balls you put together in your hand.
According to the Kane Mutiny, they were just called ball bearings. Bearings.
Uh-huh. But isn't it a Chinese thing?
Bailings.
and the Benoit balls.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you put them?
The Benoit balls, you put them in the bad place. A woman puts them in her pussy.
In her pussy, and the man puts them in the bad place?
I don't know if that... I'm sure that...
Probably.
I think you'd have a chance of losing them if you put them in the bad
place. No, I think they have strings on them, don't they?
Why does a man... Why would a woman put ball bearings in her pussy?
They shift during the day.
And they move around as a sensation,
stimulation.
Isn't there a chance, much like...
It gives her a lot of pleasure.
Isn't there a chance, much like the man, though, that it could be swallowed up by the woman's pussy?
Well, I don't think so.
With some of them, they may dissolve.
And as if Rob says they have, a string.
I saw a documentary once.
Oh, you did?
Yes, and they're on...
You watched that Real Sex? You know, the promo came on for that show, Real Sex, the other night?
I didn't see the name.
And I actually didn't watch it because the people were so gross.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting worse. They're getting worse.
I love Real Sex.
Yeah, but these people were just, foul.
They're gross.
Yeah, they're totally gross.
They're gross
pigs.
People having sex.
Mm-hmm. You don't mind watching the pigs?
No.
Okay.
I enjoy it.
Aren't they up to, like, number 26 now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, Don and Mike. I was wondering, when Frida has her gal pal get-together, do you think it's going to be reminiscent of the scene out of Goodfellas where the wives all get together and smack their bubble gum and do each other's nails and smoke and drink wine or what?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. Thank you, my friend.
Yeah.
It'll also be similar to Pushing 10 when the wives get together.
I love Don and Mike show. You know, that's a movie... I'll watch every time on
Fantastic
HBO.
Fantastic movie.
Yeah. Every time I'll watch that movie.
Some of the
movie.
Best acting in it. You know, John Cusack.
Yeah.
Has John Cusack ever been nominated for anything?
No, but you know a movie he's really great in? It's High Fidelity.
Amen. Oh, he's fantastic.
High Fidelity, he's fantastic.
That is such a weird movie, but it's quirky and it's great.
However, his sister...
And that guy, that fat guy that works in the record store with him...
He's pretty good, too.
Makes me laugh.
Great.
Jack Black.
I can do without Joan Cusack, though.
You don't like Joan?
No, and you know what?
I haven't seen her new show.
I take it back. I don't like it when Joan Cusack is in a John Cusack movie.
Yeah.
Because they never address the fact that they're brother and sister.
Right.
It's like supposed to be they're two total strangers who look and talk exactly the same.
But John, it always seems to me, is trying a little less hard than Joan. I mean, that's Joan's thing, is out there, kind of quirky, weird. But John is always just, I mean, he's a natural.
Here's a good John Cusack movie that had Joan in it, in some role, where he's the hitman who goes back for his high school reunion.
Oh, what is that?
It's Grosse Pointe Blank.
That I have
she
never
plays
seen.
His secretary.
Yeah, right. Exactly. She plays his secretary.
Wasn't that a poorly reviewed John Cusack
movie? You
know
what? That movie is great for two-thirds, and then Dan Aykroyd ruins it.
Hey.
It's at the end. But I think the first two-thirds of it are real
good. Grifters, another great John Cusack movie.
Yeah, Grifters is a great movie. Fantastic.
That's what Homer and Bart were on Sunday night.
Right?
They were grifters.
Trying to be con men. That's funny. The whole, that premise is funny all by itself.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Don, I've got news for you. It's not going to work tomorrow morning with Frida.
Why?
Well, because what's going to happen is that around 7 o'clock, Frida's going to say to Bart, Bart, your father and I have decided that we're not going to talk with one another this morning. And then everybody's going to channel through Bart, and Bart's going to be all pissed.
Oh, no. Absolutely not. You don't know how the grumpy morning gene has been passed right on from me to my son. Do you know that this morning, now, I'll say this, when Bart was littler, Frida could manipulate him just like she manipulates me.
In the morning, both of you have two speeds, moping and yelling.
And you're right.
Who remembers that?
It's familiar.
That's from The Sopranos the other night. That's from The Sopranos, the mother-in-law.
Yeah.
When Tony goes to leave, that man has two speeds, moping and yelling.
And the move this morning was strictly a move to get us to say, oh, come on back. Right. We're sorry. But we both sat at the breakfast table together as we heard the stomp of the feet going up the stairs upstairs.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we sat there, and I know that it's like playing a game of chicken. She was waiting for one of us to go up there.
Right.
And neither one of us did.
And was off.
What? Does Frida hold any dominion over Bart? Will she use him as a pawn against you?
No, we've never done that thing where, like, tell him this or tell her this.
Yeah. Okay.
We've never done that.
All right, good luck.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
I'm not going to have a problem with it. Trust me. Buzz, you hit the nail on the head. Too many questions in the morning.
Yeah, very chatty. Wants to talk about everything we could have talked about the day before, it seems.
Amen.
Just me. I don't know why.
Amen.
I'm surprised that doesn't bother you. I've been out with you before. You just can't shut up.
You know me.
Naturally.
Naturally.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike.
Afternoon, guys.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I thought I was the only guy out there that can't stand to talk in the morning. So it's been a long order in my house that my wife used to, as soon as you wake up, start talking about bills or start talking about what we're going to do that night.
You know who we haven't asked about morning habit? Bobo.
Right.
What are you, I know you get up later than, well, now you have the baby, so you get up early. Are you chatty in the morning? Are you chatty most of the time?
Carrie and I are pretty compatible in the morning. We're both relatively quiet and we sort of gear up to it. We're not surly or anything. But
yeah, but you know what? This guy on the phone's got another great one. Like talking about bills.
Yeah.
Or talking about things that you got to do later in the day or what you're going to do that night.
You know, that might be me. That really might be me. I like to address things.
Yeah.
You know, I like to make sure things
are... If it's late at night and I'm getting ready to fall asleep, she'll start talking about something and get my mind going. And it's like, stop.
Amen.
That is the worst time to have a discussion. After 10 o'clock at night, probably the worst time to have a discussion.
Yeah. Amen.
Don't first thing in the morning, kid, Mike. Don't forget that also.
Yeah, first thing in the morning. You know what? I think most altercations occur after 10 at night or first thing in the morning.
Yeah, I agree with
that. Click, click, or gurg, is about all I can handle at that early in the morning.
Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, guys.
All right, see you later.
You know, and I realize that I do it to my wife. Now that I'm thinking about it, I do it to my, you know, did you? I do that.
Yeah.
I'm guilty.
Guilty! Don and Mike, hello.
Hi, Don and Mike?
Yes, hi.
Hi. First of all, I'd like to say that, Mike, you have the sexiest voice of anyone I've ever heard.
Thank you very much. Even with my sinuses reacting to the pollen?
But about the whole morning thing, I think it's just the fundamental differences between the sexes.
I agree.
Please.
My boyfriend brought me his bath hole in the morning, but... all of his friends say that he's, I think the best way to deal with it is if he had sex with you in the morning. Because that seems to put him in a good mood in the morning and kind of talkative, so.
All right, good. I agree with everything you've said.
Okay, we stop. The worst thing you said was that Mike has a sexy voice because that's all he's focusing on now.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, you are.
I'm sorry if I sidetracked him.
It doesn't happen very often. I have to seize on that. I really do. But it's been a slice of heaven talking to you.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
You take care, my sweet.
Goodbye.
Bye, baby.
My sweet baby. Oh, you threw a baby in.
See you later, baby.
Oh, baby. We'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Lady, the Don and Mike Show.
At defensive tackle, number 95, Big Daddy Dan Wilkinson.
Then let's make it this one, the Don and Mike Show.
That was a Thursday on the show. Giving away a trip to Los Angeles. A trip for two to L.A. To the American Comedy Awards, including tickets to the American Comedy Awards taping. Also the after party. American Comedy Awards on Comedy Central Wednesday, 25th of April. That's when the trip is. That's when the show is. And we're giving away the trip on Thursday when we're having our biggest boobs contest.
Nothing complicated about this. Mm. The biggest win.
They can be fake, but if they're fake, you can't be a whore, you can't be a stripper, you can't be an exotic dancer.
Yes, and we're not going to let you know during the show what the sizes are. We're just going to comment on the appearance. You see, we're not going to say, you know, it's a 44 double D.
Right.
We'll let you know who the big winner is at the end of the show.
And the girls who have called are ready to sign up purposely. We have not been told what the bra size is. They're telling that to Lisa now.
Right.
And Lisa's telling all of them, regardless if they're saying they're a 32B mm-hmm. or a 46 triple E. She's saying, wow, you're the biggest thus far that's signed up. So, that's girls, fair. If you're interested in winning the trip to L.A., 877-365-3636.
Very good.
You got a call to sign up for the biggest boobs contest, which will be on Thursday's episode, day after tomorrow.
Thursday.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike. This is Frank in Baltimore.
Yes, hi, Frank.
How are you?
Great, thanks.
I just wanted to tell you, this chatty thing in the morning isn't just for male and female couples. I'm gay, and let me tell you, my partner, from the minute he wakes up to the minute I go to work, is asking me 24,000 questions.
My wife called me during the break to inform me that, yes, I do annoy her in the morning because I pepper her.
I pepper her with
questions, and she says I do it all day. Huh. So basically what she called to tell me is that I annoy her all day.
All day.
Yes, all day long.
And you on the phone now, you mentioned your name is Frank?
Yeah.
And you're gay?
I am.
Is this Frank Ahrens for the Post?
Hey, what a hard-hitting article today. A compliment. Let me take this opportunity.
Oh, article on William Shatner.
Frank Ahrens. You know, that hard-hitting, really wonderful, grade-A major market celebrity profile of Captain Kirk, you doofus.
He's an idiot.
God, and you know, he did it in the same. I couldn't help but read it, and I rarely read anything he writes outside of the radio column. And I read this thing, and it's typical Frank Ahrens, where it's typical ball-less Frank Ahrens, where even with Kirk, you know, he starts out kissing his ass. And then, you know, he throws his little, he just can't make a fist. He doesn't know if he wants to slam the guy or, you know, because I think Captain Kirk is infinitely slammable.
And, what gets me about this, and I read it in today's Washington Post, is that he uses the royal English. He uses we.
Right.
Now, he's writing about himself. He's interviewed William Shatner.
Right.
And here's the last paragraph.
Yeah, here's where he's got the real balls.
We didn't forget to ask about the hair.
Right.
We
were afraid.
After all, no one wants to catch one of Kirk's flying leg kicks. But 2 weeks after the Miss USA contest in California, it seemed safer. The joke goes like this, we say. You know, not we.
Yeah.
You, douchebag.
Well, he's afraid. He's the most gutless guy in the history of the universe. He won't. He just hates to make a... He's a hider. That's why he's got the perfect job in the media. He hides behind that little computer keyboard.
The joke goes like this, we say. The worst toupee in Hollywood belongs to Burt Reynolds. The second worst belongs to Bill Shatner. Yes or no on the hairpiece? A pause that could chill a Vulcan's green blood. Then...